The language of racial classification can seem so complicated and inconsistent that some people have suggested we simply throw the classifications overboard. That's the goal of a proposition on tomorrow's California ballot. But our linguist Jeff Nunberg says you may as well try to pass a law to rid the language of irregular verbs.
The recall has been getting all the ink, but the item on tomorrow's California ballot that has the most important national implications is what backers call the Racial Privacy Initiative, which sharply restricts the state's ability to classify people according to race. Opponents of the measure argue that it will hamper efforts to gather information on discrimination, hate crimes, and health questions. But supporters defend it with a new rhetoric of colorblindness. They ridicule the stew of ethnic and racial classifications that students have to tick off on University of California admissions forms. As they put it, it's time to junk a 17th century racial classification system that has no place in 21st century America. Well, they're not going to get a lot of argument on that. But the classification system they want to sweep away is more of a modern creation than an ancient one. And if the language of racial classification seems inconsistent and jumbled, that's the fault of the uneven social landscape we're asking it to map. Those inconsistencies came to the surface in a recent story about a 15-year-old high school freshman in Oakley, California, who had gathered 250 signatures to start a Caucasian club. If African Americans, Latinos, and Asians could have clubs to teach them their culture, as she put it, then why shouldn't whites have one as well? That logic was plausible to a lot of people, including 87% of the respondents to a poll conducted by a Los Angeles TV station. Others thought the club was a bad idea, though a lot of them blamed the multiculturalist for setting a bad example. As the National Review's Jay Nordlinger put it, a Caucasian club, ugh, enough of the balkanization of America. Actually, the key word there is ugh. There's something about the history of that quaint word Caucasian that makes even conservatives a little squeamish about seeing it in an organization's bylaws. As it happens, the word is exactly as old as the American nation. It was invented in 1776 by the German anthropologist Johannes Blumenbach. He chose Caucasian in the belief that the white race began its peregrinations when Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat in the Caucasus. By all rights, the Caucasian label should have vanished a long time ago, along with Mongoloid, Negroid, American, and the other categories of discredited racial theories. One reason why it survived is that it was often used in what were called the Caucasian clauses of organizations and restrictive housing covenants. But even then, the word wasn't used in its anthropological meaning, where it included the peoples of the Middle East and North Africa. It was simply a genteel-sounding way of excluding people of the wrong sort, whoever they happened to be at the time. As late as 1947, a civil rights report said that there was no immediate prospect of a mass migration of Negroes, Jews, and other minorities into exclusively Caucasian areas. And when Jews were reclassified as Caucasians soon after that, it had more to do with their effects on property values than with any new findings in physical anthropology. In fact, the Caucasian label has become even more common in recent years, to the point where it's part of the active vocabulary of a high school freshman. That's partly a response to the need for a term to pair with African American, another odd entry in the American racial lexicon. When African American was popularized in the late 80s, it was supposed to suggest an identity defined by ancestry rather than by color. But we don't use African American the way we use labels like Italian American, where we feel free to drop the American part when the context makes it clear. We talk about an Italian neighborhood, but not an African one. The African of African American isn't a geographical label, it's just a prefix that means black. If we were being consistent, we'd contrast African American with European American. But the only people who use that term are scholars and the modern racialists who have tricked out their programs in the language of multiculturalism. A couple of years ago, an outfit called the European American Issues Forum persuaded the California legislature to proclaim a European American Heritage Month. Instead of European American, people use Caucasian, which seems to invest European descent with an objective scientific standing. That's specious, of course. If African American is a racial category masquerading as a cultural one, Caucasian is a cultural category in racial drag. but it can be a useful word to have around when you want to make a racial contrast without risking a charge of vulgar bias. And its scientific-sounding cachet made it the natural choice for the name of a high school club. To white adolescents in the California suburbs, the old ethnic identifications are remote and attenuated. And mere whiteness is apt to strike them as boring. As that California student put it on CNN, well, you ask the kids, what are you? They'll say white, but white, that's not a race. Actually, she had that backwards. It's white that's the race and Caucasian that's the cultural category. But her confusion was just an outgrowth of the language of race itself. We're always struggling to find racial labels that answer the question, what are you, with even-handed essences. But the labels keep catching their sleeves on disparities in the way we think about race itself. Racial classifications are like irregular verbs. They may be inconsistent, but they run too deep to eliminate by decree.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University's Center for the Study of Language and Information, and he's the author of The Way We Talk Now.